Good morning. Happy Monday. For those of you watching on TV, you got to see some calisthenics from Matt Bonner and Lindsay Dunn early on here. Hope you all had a nice weekend. We were off Friday because the NHL trade deadline, the debut of those two new Toronto Maple Leafs, not the best. Weird weekend for the Raptors.
I have no clue what you're talking about.
Well, we were off on Friday.
I don't watch hockey till the playoffs start.
Well, the playoffs have started for me because I want the Toronto Maple Leafs badly to win the division so they don't have to see that rat Brad Marchand and the Panthers in the first round of the playoffs. Basically,
Marchand's on the Panthers?
Yeah, he got. So this is the thing is like
the
most hated guy in Toronto, like Boston's bad this year, and he got traded to the team that the Leafs are likeliest to play in the
what
playoffs.
What a nightmare scenario. Yeah,
I know that the Grizzlies actually did this, but when you were playing, if the Grizzlies went out and got Marcus Smart and they're like, we're going to face Bonner in the playoffs, we got to go get Marcus Smart.
Yeah, well, Marcus Smart got torched for the game winner. He's lucky.
Well, he didn't get torched for the game winner because the game winner got waved off.
I know it did, but that's why I said he's lucky. He's lucky yeah. It was after.
So look, the Raptors split a pair on the weekend. They beat Utah 118-109 on Friday. They lost to the Wizards 118-117 on Saturday. We'll talk about that a little bit later. We will talk to Andre Miller as well. The professor is going to join the show. But first, we have Lindsay Dunn of City News with us. And Lindsay, Jacoby Walter hit a game winner last week. Jamal Shedd almost hit a game winner, but neither of those guys would claim that that was the highlight of their week, because before the Giants of Africa event last week, they did carpool karaoke with you. How was it?
Yeah, they got to hang out with me, but I want a nickname like the professor. So during the segment, if you could think of a cool nickname for me, that would be great. Thanks so much.
On it.
Okay.
Okay. I like this. So the carpool karaoke was, I'm going to say, probably the most fun I've ever had doing an interview, like in my life.
Kevin Kiermaier is so mad hearing this right now.
And he should be, because Jamal and Jacoby can sing. Okay. That was the thing. It goes back to the beginning of the season. The Raptors had this Halloween party that was just for them. And it got like through the grapevine, I found out they had this rookie singing competition. So I did a story on it trying to find out like, it's the beginning of the season. Who won? Jamal Shedd said he won. Jacoby's like, no, I won. And then Jonathan Moe was like, no, I got robbed. I won. G-Temp settled it all, saying he's like, no, I was there. They won. And so people are like, hey, I want to hear them sing.
Wait, sorry. Who did Garrett say won?
Jamal.
Oh,
he's like, hands down. And like, we aired this story on City News. He's like, hands down. Like, there was no contest.
Okay.
It was Jamal.
He's from Austin. Live music capital of the world. That checks out.
Yeah, it checks out. But also I was skeptical, because I'm like, maybe he just won because all of them were bad and he was just like the least worse of it.
A win's a win.
A win's a win. And so like, I love that they've been teasing each other. But if at shoot around, you can always hear Jamal sing. And I do sidelines as well as work for sidelines for 905. And I can, one day I heard Jamal just belting it out. And I was like, okay, this needs to happen.
So what'd you think of their song choices during the karaoke?
I've never felt more out of touch in my life. Then that moment, it is hilarious. Like, they had Soulja Boy a little bit, which was like, I knew that
that's
song.
That's of the right vintage for people roughly our age.
They're probably like, this is old school.
But I was surprised they knew that. But then they played this great song. I actually have to look it up. I think it was Kirk Franklin called I Smile. And it was just, I'm like, never heard of it. But like,
oh, I love Kirk Franklin.
Yeah, and I never heard it before. And then Jamal's like, Jacoby's like, let's do some gospel. I'm like, take me to church. So they sing, and I actually learned a lot about them, because Jamal, I always knew, was like, he's pretty outgoing. He has such an infectious personality. And I always thought Jacoby was a little shy. But in this, like, he was razzing him so hard, and they were having fun going back and forth, and he was letting it rip in the car. Like, he was just singing so loud.
That's impressive.
Yeah, and Jacoby, it's been fun to see the personality come out, because we talked to him on Media Day, and as far as like a rookie on Media Day goes, that was an awesome interview. Like, he was very, very chatty, more than you would normally expect. And then you see these little glimpses, like him calling Garrett 100 years old. You know, the fact that as a rookie, he's kind of become the face of like all the community stuff the team's been doing. Like, he's the ambassador for MLSE Foundation. He got the community chain. They have an extra chain now for community work and stuff. Like, he's really come out of his shell over the course of the year. So it's fun to see.
Yeah, I loved every moment of it. Like, my face hurt from smiling after, and it was like there was dance moves that were happening, and I was a little nervous, like maybe they were going to be a little reserved, but it was right after his game winner in Orlando. And
perfect.
Jonathan Mobo was supposed to also be there, but he broke his face the day before. Like,
yeah, that's
he fractured it.
He could have done Humpty Hump with the broken nose.
By the way, the entire 12-minute video is up on your YouTube page, Lindsay Dunn on YouTube.
Did you pick any songs?
I did. Let's see if you can guess it, because it's on YouTube. It's not on social.
I'm going to guess Taylor Swift. I'm going to guess.
Ooh.
Whitney Houston, Mariah Carey, Taylor Swift, Sarah McLachlan.
It's only an 11-minute video.
Yeah.
I'm guessing like.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, but I like that. We're going to air more over the year or like over the month because like we have 25 minutes of content. But here's a sample of it. Ready?
Yeah.
Me not working hard. Yeah, right. Picture that with a Kodak. Better yet, go to Times Square. Take a picture of me with a Kodak. Pitbull. Neo. Ooh. Tonight. I picked it. And they terrible rap. I'm quite aware that's the whitest thing people are ever going to hear.
Can you do it one more time?
They can go watch the video where I absolutely butchered it, but it was so fun because as soon as that song came on, like it was the one song I picked, they were grooving. But for the record, my favorite artist in the world is Dean Martin. So you're so off what I would have picked. It would have been That's Amore.
I think that's Garrett Temple's favorite artist in the world too.
And one more beef I have with him calling him 100 years old is I'm actually only one day older than Garrett Temple. And so I might have to fight Jacoby.
That we have the same birthday, right?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
What is it?
We're 3 days older than him.
Yeah.
He's May 8th.
Oh, I thought it was the 6th.
Yes. Lindsay and I have the exact same birthday, same year and everything. Pardon?
Aries?
Taurus.
May 5th. Can't wait for our joint birthday present this year. Thanks so much, buddy.
I have the same birthday as Steven Jackson, Stack 5.
April 5th, right?
April 5th, yeah. Aries.
Nice.
Yep.
Nice. Okay. By the way, my guess for your song would have been Dancing in the Dark, but that's only because you guys were just talking Springsteen before we came on. So also I was quickly good. Like, what would be the best Springsteen karaoke song? I think it would be Dancing in the Dark.
No way. Glory Days.
Yeah. Glory. How does that go?
Glory Days. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to keep going.
Come on. That's all you get.
Okay. Let's play a clip from Carpool Karaoke. Everyone can check out the whole thing on Lindsay Dunn's YouTube or at Lindsay Dunn TV on social media. But here's a clip of Jamal and Jacoby chopping it up.
You gotta feel that beat, and we can ride the boogie.
Is this what I did?
Share that
this is what I did.
Love.
You did do this,
and I wanna ride with you.
I sing it better.
I was hitting the air
with you for the moonwalk.
How much do you guys trash talk each other for fun during practice? Is that no? Oh,
all day.
All day?
It's not practice. It's not. It's like it's whatever.
Oh, okay.
Jay was telling.
Hey, I got the new damn piano.
Minus 15. Taught the cold wall. What is that? It's the freestyle.
Now I need you. Crank that song. 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 Now I need you. Soldier boy, I've been it. Oh, why me crank that? Why me roll? Why me crank that? Soldier boy, Superman. Now I need you.
Yeah, that like did not. Now I know the moves to this. Like did not know the moves, but they sang Michael Jackson, Fantasia. So like Jamal hits this one note where I actually am like, ooh, okay, we came to play today.
And I encourage people to watch the video because some of the facial expressions and reactions, like when you asked if they talk trash in practice, that Jamal gave you.
He gave me such a look like, really?
I also like that like Jacoby's supposed to be singing and instead he's doing like what happens on the first 30 seconds of every hip hop track. And he's just like ad-libbing. He's just like dropping those one-liners. It's like,
J-Wobs, what's up?
Yeah, exactly.
Texas in the house.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay, so Matt, you asked Lindsay what songs she picked. What you did, you were at karaoke this weekend. I know you didn't get to do it. But what would your, like what's, if we're giving Matt Bonner like a 1 to 3 song set here, what are we doing?
I mean, if it's in a group karaoke situation, like with a crowd of people at an establishment, you know, I'm going more upbeat, Semi-Charm Life, Third Eye Blind. I actually signed up for that. And thank God there was too big of a line and I never got a chance before I left. American Girl, Tom Petty. Can I Kick It, Tribe Called Quest. Nice. Great crowd callback. And then underrated, if I can get a girl, a woman.
For a duet.
What's the PC term? What am I supposed to say?
Yeah. You can say anything. There's not
if
like
I get a girl.
Like, where are we going with this?
Yeah.
If I can get a girl to come up and do it with me, duet, I'm going Chicken Heads, Project Pat.
Wow.
Underrated.
Wow.
Deep cut. Great male, female, okay. Guy, girl, duet, Chicken
My
Heads.
Go-to.
But if I'm in a car by myself,
I'm going ballads.
I'm going ballads. I actually wrote some of them, my favorite ones down. I'm going
insider.
Roxette, Take My Breath Away. I'm going Long December, Counting Crows.
That's a good one, but that song drags
Nothing
on as a heads
Nothing compares to
up.
You, Prince or Sinead O'Connor. Take your pick. Today, Smashing Pumpkins. I'm a ballad guy if I'm alone in the car.
So here's a choice. You now have no choice in this. We will be doing carpool karaoke, and I need to hear these songs.
I promise you, you would have to drug me and throw me in the back.
So when you see him doing carpool karaoke with me, I'll not tell you how it happened.
You'd have to get me like you know how when people get their wisdom teeth out and they'll do it, they get them in the car and they're saying all, that's what I would have to be. To get me to film me doing car karaoke.
Well, I gotta talk to my dentist who I'm going to.
Highly self-conscious.
The judgment-free zone. You'll be great. My go-to song though, for real, Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, that is my. What is yours though, Blake? I'm so curious.
So I am mostly like a pop punk guy, but the issue you run into is like a lot of pop punk songs drag on longer than you would think. Like "Sugar We're Going Down" by Fall Out Boy.
Oh yeah.
Love to sing along to that song. It repeats the chorus like 6 times in a row at the end. So you got to be careful karaoke. Like I firmly believe every song should have like a 2-minute version for karaoke. So if I were to actually pick, I would probably go Lips of an Angel, which is it's a very funny song. You've heard the song. Because I would play the song, the verse no one would care about. And once the chorus hit, you'd be like, oh, I know this song. And the guy has a funny voice that, like, everyone goes, like, Tom DeLonge mode and, like, does the Hinder guy's voice with it. Yes. If I was going to actually try to do a good one, I think I'd pick Old Apartment by Bare Naked Ladies.
Oh, great song.
Wow.
That's a great Toronto song, too.
Yeah, you get the Danforth shout-out and everything. I know usually you're probably doing karaoke in the West End or Central, but I don't know.
That's a song, like, everyone can relate to being at that moment in your life, too. That's a good song.
This is where we used to live.
Yeah.
Wow. I am here for it. I just quickly want to say, though, about the actual, like, rookies. A lot of the time, like, you'll find out, I usually just, like, I like people's personality before I, like, focus on their game. And then it's like, oh, great, you're good at basketball or baseball or whatever. I could not root for these people more than I was already rooting for them because they are genuinely kind, good people. Because we meet people in this life, in this industry, that are really fake and insincere and they act like they're nice. These are two really good people.
And I think we could put Mobo in there too.
Oh, right?
I haven't gotten to know him.
Mobo.
I know he couldn't do it because the broken face.
But it's like, I cannot like praise them enough for like, obviously we see the work ethic they're putting in there, but the way they treated me and the camera operators and people at Scotiabank Arena, they're good. I'm going to say kids because he called G-Temp 100. And I'm so impressed with them. And like, they could have backed out. They were into it. They were kind. They were funny. And if you don't even like sports, I'm telling you, this will make you smile.
You see it on the court. You see the joy they play with, the chemistry. That's what makes it so fun to root for this team because they play hard. They play together every night, win or lose, despite the record. And it's rare at like 19 years old as a rookie to be over yourself and just be who you are, especially in that type of situation. So I have a lot of respect for that too.
And like in this, with this franchise, we've had like over my time covering it, we've had really good guys to cover. We had Terrence Ross on the show the other week. DeMar and Kyle were obviously DeMar and Kyle when it comes to doing this kind of stuff and dealing. And those guys took forever to like find their comfort zone and like open up and let people in and stuff like that. So for these guys to do it right away, I did want to ask you about one other young guy because it seems like he's maybe he hasn't gotten out of the shell as much yet, but Jared Roden is a guy who has joined this young group now. Yes. And you obviously do sideline for Raptors 905. So you've gotten to know Jared a little better than some of the Raptors audience maybe has. You had that great talk with him about his DeMar moment last season. How do you think he's going to fit into all this?
I think he's going to fit in great because pretty much you have the 905 with the Raptors right now. You have AJ Lawson and then Colin Castleton. Like he had a moment. He's on a 10-day. I realize that, but Jared's personality, like, he is also somebody that is very humble because he made his NBA debut in January of 2023. And so he's trying to get back there. He knows the work that went in. He had injuries in between that. But he is, I asked him about the handshake line though, because they are trying to fight in. I'm like, guy, this is intense. He's like, I know there's so many things to learn and so many people, but he works hard. He's an unselfish player and he's got a great personality that I think will fit in right with him right away. And so he's another person, like, you just can't help but root for.
And Colin Castleton's going to single-handedly bring the goatee back.
I hope not.
Yeah, I'm skeptical on that one. If Stone Cold Steve Austin about the only goateed man that I will say.
If they did like a Raptors Guess Who, you know that game Guess Who?
Does he have
a
goatee?
Colin Castleton, you'd lose immediately.
Lindsay, I did want to ask you what staying on the 905 thing. On Friday, I know they played yesterday. I know the team is not doing particularly
well. 3 games in 4 nights. Let's go.
Yeah, 9 losses in a row as well. So 3 losses in 4 nights.
You got to get hot at the right time, Blake.
They have gotten ice cold. I think they're done. Like they've got 3 weeks left, but like the standings are too tight and they've fallen off too much. And they have no players left because they're all with the Raptors.
Yeah, the bench was slim yesterday. It's they were
tough. Yes, tough. But on Friday, it was very, very cool. You guys did an all women's broadcast as part of the International Women's Day, which was Saturday, of course, but they didn't play on Saturday. So you, Ashley Docking, Tamika Nurse, how was that?
It was great. I thought the International Women's Day was like on Saturday. So when people were saying it, I'm like, happy NHL trade deadline. It's Friday. What are we talking about? I was oblivious. It was great. And then also, like, aside from Ashley and Tamika, the in-ops crew, like all women. And then it just showcased a lot like of people, because I think when people watch sports a lot of time, or even behind the scenes, the technical crew, they think it's all guys, nothing wrong with that. But it showed like, hey, there's a lot of girls helping out, or women. Like there's Katie. She's one of the TVAs I sit with every day that has to put up with my shenanigans, or one of like our technical directors. It was lovely. And just everyone was really happy to be there and supportive of each other and ignoring the game that happened.
Yeah. And I mean, they brought so many people out from around the basketball community as well. Olivia from Give and Grow. I know Abby was there from Make Way and stuff. Just a lot of people a lot of women from the Toronto basketball community, which was,
Yeah, one of those moments, because usually like in a locker room or whatever, me or post game, whether it be baseball, basketball, hockey, like it's either just me or there might be another woman in there. It's like, oh, there's actually a lot of us. Like there's a lot of us. It's just, it's spread out in different positions within like organizations. So it was really neat to see. And everyone was just really happy and supportive. And then on Saturday at the Raptors game, they celebrated International Women's Day. So it was fun because everybody, even like Dargo, was like, happy International Women's Day. And like, to you too.
You got two. You got two of them. International Women's Days.
Thanks for asking, but it was great.
Yes. Obviously the Raptors play at the same time Friday. So I had headphones in for like the first half of the third quarter. And you guys all sounded great. And then I was paying way more attention to that because the 905 lost a one possession game down the stretch, whereas the Raptors were like up 12 on the Utah Jazz, who are not playing NBA players.
And you see the growth in the sport with women. You look on the benches of NBA teams in the front offices, there's more and more. There's still a long ways to go, but it's great to see.
Oh, I love it. I love every moment of it. I love seeing the growth of it. I do have to go back just one more time to the rookies, if you don't mind, because it wasn't just singing, but I thought it was interesting to find out about, like, the rookie year is done in, like, what, just over a month? Mm-hmm. Unless they have an insane playoff run.
The Bulls won twice on the weekend. Yeah. They're five games out now.
Oh,
they're,
I know.
Good night.
Very much sarcastic on that one. But it's just hearing about the rookie initiation, because we've heard over the years, like, what can happen to some rookies. And they're saying that, like, RJ told them what their vets did to him. He's like, I don't want that for you. So they've actually had it pretty tame, because I grilled them. Like, you're not wearing your pink backpack all the time, Jamal. He's like, it's there. You just don't see it sometimes.
Yeah.
But it was just really nice to hear about, for the most part, the whole team getting along and how the vets, like, not only G-Temp, but RJ, are treating the rookies and wanting to see them grow. But
it's also going to be a little tougher when half the team is rookies. Like, how do you make all the rookies get donuts? Like, everyone would gain 30 pounds. Like, there's too many rookies.
They'll rally against you.
Yeah. Like, was it, I forget who pointed it out. Maybe Keeks pointed it out. But, like, the lineup they closed with on Saturday, technically Jamal Shedd was the longest tenured Raptor because he had been drafted and everyone else was, like, signed out of the G League or on a 10-day or something like that.
Yeah. I never got much rookie stuff. We had to do all the dirty laundry. Not do the laundry, but, like, get everybody's laundry bags, carry people's bags on and off the plane, on the bus. If someone wanted something, you'd get, this is, like, in the beginning of smartphones and texting. So, like, you'd get a call in your hotel room. It'd be like Jalen Rose, like, hey, and this is no Uber Eats back then either. Like, I'm hungry. Can you go to McDonald's and get me a number one Big Mac value meal? And I would. And he'd, like, give me, like, a $100 bill and tell me to keep the change, though.
Did you buy yourself a little something sometimes? Or were you too scared as a rookie?
No, I never did. I tried to save every penny as a rookie. For sure.
It's like, yeah. I will also take a number one combo, please. And
I was on an unguaranteed contract.
That's smart. Yep. That's a smart rookie move.
Exactly. Yeah. And as we've discussed on the show, the non-guaranteed rookie minimum at that time, a lot lower than it is now.
Right? Yeah. Oh,
it is not seven figures like it is now.
No, it was. Yeah, exactly. I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to be on the team in a week. Never mind 12 years from now, you know. So
I like, you couldn't do this in basketball because there's no opportunity during the game, but I like what they make the rookies do in baseball, especially if you're a rookie relief pitcher.
Yes.
You have the backpack, but you're responsible. Like, that's got to have gum and seeds and candy. Like, you are the concession stand in the bullpen for the other pitchers.
Well, playing cards was a big one, and I know Sham Schaefer got them at the beginning of the season. Accidentally, like, he's like, who told you? I'm like, well, you just told me. I just heard it was a rookie that did it. But, yeah, and I can't remember if it was Jacoby or Jamal. One of them told me that Chris Boucher had them go down in the hotel to get his Uber Eats order at 2 a.m., and that was the worst thing that happened. I'm like, oh, that's not bad at all.
You just had to go to the lobby.
Yeah.
I had to, like, go out, find a Subway, you know?
Yeah.
And don't mess that order up.
Yep.
Nothing. You got no rookie hazing here at Sportsnet this year either.
Not yet. Till carpool karaoke.
Yeah. You have to do carpool karaoke with Lindsay.
I had a 10-day 2 years ago.
That's right.
I did that. I helped cover the final series. So yeah. I'm technically not a rookie.
Also,
right?
You did you had a cup of coffee with TSN. So it's like you can't call Jared Roden a rookie because he's played in the NBA before, yeah, even though he's effectively a rookie. Yeah.
And I went to the Sportsnet rookie training thing.
Oh, yeah.
That's where I met Brad Gushue.
Yeah, the rookie transition program.
Yep. Brad Gushue had a tough loss in the Briar. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, him and Jacobs were, it was like a pitcher's duel. It was like no score through four ends.
People were booing, boring.
Yeah.
Well, and then it was
This is why
magic.
I like the mixed doubles for curling. It's more exciting because they set it up. There's higher scoring.
You know, we're only a month away, though, right, from the Grand Slam?
Yeah, I'm covering that.
Oh, you're covering it.
Oh, yeah.
I knew that you were going to go.
What?
Yeah.
I'm going to be part of that broadcast. I don't know in what capacity yet. I don't know if I'm supposed to be saying this yet either, but.
Yeah, last you had updated me was like you were like messaging the guy.
11 out of 10 excited for this opportunity.
Yes. And it's right after the Raptors end, right? Like the Raptors end on Sunday and then it starts that week?
Yeah, that's right.
Nice. That'll be.
I'm super pumped.
Yeah, that'll be
great.
I'm
going curling on Thursday with a country artist who's never went curling before, so I'm pretty excited. Like curling was mandatory. I'm from Saskatchewan in elementary school. That was part of your gym classes. You went curling every year and it was the best.
Outside, right?
Yeah, and we walked like 25 miles.
I've read books about it. It's like way more, the ice is way more irregular. It's harder to gauge.
Yeah.
The conditions change.
But still, it's why.
I've never been curling either.
Wait, what are you doing Thursday morning at 10:30 right before your show?
Yeah.
Oh,
you're here, buddy.
Yeah. You know what? I'll try to rearrange it. You can come curling. It'll be great. And then you can yell, hurry!
You want to see me bring this all full circle here?
Let's do it.
Bring it on.
As part of the weekend when curling is here, Grand Slam of Karaoke is also happening. They do these karaoke events with all the curlers to raise money. And there is a Grand Slam of Karaoke taking place that weekend. I don't have the location and time details, but I know that it is happening.
Yeah,
and
I've seen
these
videos.
They've done it regularly.
It's pretty epic.
Can we get a team in there?
Like,
I don't know. For the karaoke or the curling?
Best friends that anyone could have. Come on, we can do that song.
We could do that song. I think we would have to pick a better song if we want to win, though, because we're not going in there to lose.
What's a song with three people? You probably have to go hip-hop.
Yeah, like, or like boy band. Side.
Or Spice Girls cut out two of the members, because it's not like Victoria really sang love you.
Oh, most embarrassing.
If
not
you
want to
be my lover.
You got to get with my friends.
One time I was doing like university.
Which Spice
age.
Girl would you be? Sorry, Blake.
That's okay.
No, let's go to Spice Girls for a moment. I know everyone listening is like, I love this. I was always forced to be Baby Spice growing up.
Because
I was blonde, drove me nuts. But I was Sporty Spice all day, every day.
So we'll get you a tracksuit.
I'm halfway there right now if you are listening.
Fresh kicks on and everything.
I have fresh kicks if you're watching.
Blake would be Posh Spice.
Sure.
You would 100% be Posh Spice. You got to put the hand out. I like that.
Yeah.
All fancy.
I'm glad we're going Spice Girls, though, because one of my least favorite karaoke experiences, when I was like university age, a couple drinks in, friends and I did Get Down by Backstreet Boys. And nobody remembers this. There is a rap in the middle of that song. And none of us knew any of the words or remembered that there was a rap in the middle of the song. We thought it was like one verse, do the course two times and get out. There's a rap. We all just like were standing there like awkwardly, like didn't know. Like the lyrics, because like the lyrics pop up and that helped. But if you forgot there was a rap and you don't know the cadence of the rap, you're not going to be able to do it. It was bad.
I felt like you were going to ask me my most embarrassing karaoke moment. I'm telling you, all of them.
Yeah, I'm just
all
sharing
of them.
Mine.
Just, yeah, no. Do you even have one?
Growing up at University of Florida, we used to go to this place called the Grog House. They'd have free Natty Light 9 to midnight on Saturdays and karaoke.
Oh gosh.
And I was ludicrous Southern hospitality and start a mosh pit throwing bows. That was my go-to.
Oh, I can't wait for you to do that in carpool karaoke. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
You're not getting out of it.
Well, don't throw bows in the carpool carrier. He has very long arms.
No, he
can. And sharp elbows.
Yeah, he's going to knock the steering wheel on you.
Like, my elbows are razor sharp, and it's because I have noodle arms. So I was like, just watch yourself. I'll throw them right back. It'll be great. Luna!
Yeah, I'll sit in the back seat where it's nice and safe from all these long, pointy elbows. Okay, let's take a break. When we come back, well, I guess we'll talk for a couple minutes about the games that happened on the weekend. We'll also talk to Andre Miller, the professor, 17-year NBA vet. We'll get back on the G
League. Teammate.
He coaches the Grand Rapids Gold. Yeah, and end of the 2015-2016 season. Joins up with you guys.
His last year.
Yeah, be interesting to hear. To hear all his former teammates tell it, one of the absolute smartest guys in basketball. And, Lindsay, you'll like this, still a roller skater, almost pushing 50 years old and still roller skates.
Be rolling.
Yeah, so we will get to know Andre Miller. We'll talk a little bit more about these games. We'll get you set for the rematch everyone's really, really highly anticipated for. Wizards-Raptors Part 2 with like half of both of the rosters resting. All that's next as the Raptors show continues. Lindsay Dunn, thank you so much for doing this. Make sure you check it out on City News and Lindsay Dunn TV on social media for the full video of Jamal and Jacoby doing carpool karaoke with you. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Lindsay.
All right, we'll be back after this. Wrap the show continues with Blake Murphy and Matt Bonner.
Big opinions and in-depth conversations covering the Leafs, Jays, Raptors, and the NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Raptor Show. It's Posh Spice and Jerry Holloway with you. nothing gets you more excited to sing a bunch of karaoke that you won't actually do than talking about karaoke. Now I've got like a whole set list in my head. I'm like, even if I went, I'd get to do like one of these songs, not a whole set list.
I mean, I could always get one at my house. If I'm in a safe environment, I'm all about the karaoke.
Yeah, I had the gym here to myself on Sunday and caught myself singing out loud a couple of times. And I was like, I hope no one walks in because I'm just like running around here singing out loud by myself. Someone's going to come in and be like,
You kill your rep.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, okay. We're going to talk to Andre Miller in a few minutes here. We'll get you set for Raptors Wizards tonight. But Matt, we did see a couple of things on the weekend. The Raptors obviously winning on Friday, losing on Saturday. I guess the main thing that I wanted to get your opinion on, we asked Darko about this on Friday. They have changed their strategy a little bit game to game. We talked about the big game where Jacoby Walter hit the winner. They yanked the starters with like 7 minutes left, and then RJ, the final starter, out with like 90 seconds left. And then Friday, they just kind of like let everyone play. Like quickly, like RJ and Jakob Poeltl sat out, but Quickly and Barnes stayed in until the game was wrapped up. And then on Saturday, we saw them go back away from that. And Emmanuel Quickley was out for rest, but Jakob Poeltl comes out, Scotty Barnes comes out. They let Jamal Shedd and a bunch of other call-up guys close it out. That going back and forth, what have you made of that?
Man, I don't know.
the explanation was not satisfying either. Like it is what it is, but the explanation was basically like, we'll see how we feel game to game.
Then I guess that's what they're doing. That's what it looks like they're doing. I mean, the bigger picture stuff is the Bulls won twice.
Yes, five games back.
Philadelphia won as well. We need Brooklyn to win a few more.
Yeah, they're now tied with Brooklyn in the win column.
Was there 18 games left? If we can get that fourth worst record spot, that would be sweet.
You're not getting fourth worst.
Why not?
You're four games up on New Orleans for that spot.
My bad, fifth worst. What's that, 10%?
Yeah, 9.5, I want to say.
So maybe we get that. That would be sweet. That's what I meant.
Yes, it was obviously a lot of college basketball going on this weekend as well. And this is conference tournament week, so we're in the mix of this now. Rutgers went to overtime yesterday, and neither Harper nor Bailey played particularly well, but Harper had a good overtime. Duke was playing.
Duke's cruising.
Yeah, wasn't the best Malawach game, but he continues to look like really, really interesting. VJ Edgecombe's getting like Danny Green-style chase down blocks. It's going to be harder the next couple of weeks for Raptors fans, I think, as we all shift a little bit more of our attention to March Madness and you see some of these guys. Although there has been also some reporting from people that, like, outside of Cooper Flagg, this draft is no longer considered like the world-changing draft that it looked like, you know, maybe 12 months ago.
I agree. I mean, I don't think some of those guys have shown out like we thought they would in college basketball this season. It's hard too. It's such a crapshoot when you're 18.
Yes.
You know, these guys are 18. They're playing against 22-year-olds. You get so much better from 18 to 22 that even if you're like a lottery talent, if you're playing against 22-year-olds that are seasoned and well-developed at a high level in college, that's a huge advantage for the 22-year-olds.
This is also
this is why I'm glad I'm not. That's not my job to evaluate this.
Yeah, it's and like obviously we have Raptors duties first and NBA duties second. So even mine is like, I mean, you see me sometimes when you come in and I'll have like a college thing from the night before up on Synergy. It's just like, hey, I'm gonna speed run Dylan Harper's possessions from last night because it seemed like he had a good game and I want to catch up a little bit. But it's not like I can lock in like possession to possession on all these on like Baylor games and stuff.
Yeah, and like my senior year in college at Florida, I would annihilate freshmen that would go on to be NBA All-Stars.
This is also,
I'm 4 years older than
yeah,
him.
Yeah, and this is also like this is the last year of 5 year eligibility, guys, from the COVID season where everyone carried an extra year of eligibility. So that is particularly extreme this year where, you know, there are true like fifth year guys, whereas Cooper Flagg was 17 months ago.
17 and killing everybody.
Yes.
I think no one's talking about him. We're talking about everybody else.
And this is like, it's an interesting thing about being the number one, the presumed number one pick is like some years you come in and like you're the number one pick. And so people like come at you. It's like everyone feels like they need to have reasons that you shouldn't be the number one pick. And like Wiggins went through this, right? And in retrospect, maybe he shouldn't have been the number one pick. But like because he came in, everyone was like, no, Wiggins is bad at this. Wiggins is bad at this. Instead of like building up the other guys. And there's just been none of that for Cooper Flagg because he's like so clearly the number one guy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we could play back Scal's raving review of him.
Yes.
For sure.
It was funny. I was watching Celtics Lakers, maybe one of the Celtics games on the weekend. And he was just like they showed him and he's like shirt unbuttoned, a couple buttons.
Yeah, they don't have to get dressed up for their broadcasts. Come on, Sportsnet. What are we doing?
I don't know. I'm not complaining. I had a suit fitting last week. I'm not complaining. They want to throw me in one of those. Anyway, I should talk about that off air, not on air. Okay. So while we wait for Andre Miller here, if we're going to get him, one of the other things that, that came up in these games. So Jakob sat one of them, played the other one. He had
Jakob was awesome.
21-5-5 in 24 minutes. And of course the Raptors, won those minutes. He sat Friday. He's sitting again tonight. This is still like obviously Scottie Barnes is the team's best player and RJ and Quickly are pretty good too. But Jakob Poeltl remains the biggest like quote unquote tank lever they have, right?
Yeah, no, he's been phenomenal all year. What a season he's had. And like his five assists were like real assists. It wasn't like a DHO, someone takes three dribbles, makes a move and scores, count it as an assist. He was like hitting dimes, guys going back door for layups. He looked great. I thought it was really weird seeing Marcus Smart and Chris Middleton on the Wizards.
They're both resting tonight, by the way, so the Wizards agree with you.
Well, Marcus Smart resting doesn't help us. he got cooked by Jamal Shedd on the last play. Fortunate that it came a tenth of a second after the buzzer. For someone whose reputation is defense, man, he got smoked on that play. Just seeing them in a Wizards uniform was like really bizarre to me.
Yeah. The pictures like when they first introduced Chris Middleton were so weird too.
Yeah. Like, but Chris Middleton,
he was good.
Yeah, he was good. Bigger picture, Scotty had the yell fouls going, got to the free throw line, what, 8 times, 10 times?
10 times. Shot 4 of 16, but had 10 free throws.
He's the king of like the yell foul, which I love. Jock Vaughn used to do it on the Spurs and he'd get it. Every time he'd get it on me in practice. And I'm like, what the heck? He just yelled. It's not a foul if you yell, but it works for some guys. And I'm not against it. I'm against any advantage you can get as a competitor. Take it. And he had that going the rest of his game. We talked about the 35-12 game when I got aggregated and he called me out in the post game. What do you think we've seen since that game?
Yeah, well, statistically,
I'm going to let you get aggregated this time.
Yeah, statistically, it's been, you know, you can look at Scottie's number before that 76ers game and his numbers after that 76ers game. And at least in terms of volume of attempts within 5 feet, which was the main point that you were talking about, it is the exact same before and after. So that Philly game looks like an outlier. I did think his first half against Washington, he did a good, like, I think 8 of his free throw attempts were in the first half. So, like, it's like, hey, I'm going to get downhill on a team that can't guard me. I'm going to get to the line. Big picture, it's been the exact same before and after that moment. That game stands out. And that was a game where, you know, Joel Embiid's in a deep drop. He's got Yabu getting switched onto him at times. That was a good matchup for him.
It's felt different, though. He's definitely shot less threes.
Yes.
Which is, you know, I think a good thing. I mean, if you're hitting him, shoot more. Mm-hmm. But it seems like he's been trying to get into the paint more and keep pressure on the defense, which is good. You know, Saturday we just ran into a Jordan Poole night. Like the time we played him before, Jordan Poole looked like a shell of himself.
Yeah, 34 points on 12 of 20, but 7 of 12 on threes.
Like deep, tough threes. Yes. They weren't like swing, wide open, catch and shoots. He was like launching from the logo and just canning them.
Yeah, they're an it was very interesting, I found, to see Utah and Washington back-to-back, where Utah is sitting a lot of guys, obviously, but it doesn't look like there are... Like, Walker Kessler set an actual a record for most offensive rebounds against the Raptors ever in that game with 13. He had 25 rebounds total.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Only Ben Wallace and Dikembe Mutombo have had more rebounds against the Raptors in a game than that. But you look, and it's like, okay, like Keontae George will probably shoot it enough eventually. I'm still holding some Isaiah Collier stock. KJ Martin, who both of us wanted to eat the salary on at the deadline, look, but like, there's not a lot going on there. And then the Wizards, at least, even though the Wizards are worse right now, like, you can at least look and be like, okay, Corey Kispert is a useful rotation player on a good deal. Alex Starr shot poorly, but like showed some nice stuff in that game.
Yeah, his lob stuff is
Bilal
crazy.
Koulibaly can defend a little bit.
Super athletic.
Yeah. So I came away from those two games a little more, not optimistic about either team at all, but like, I think the Wizards, even though the Wizards are dead last, I might like where they're at talent, young talent wise, just a little bit more than the Jazz.
Yeah, but the Jazz have way more assets, picks, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'm strictly talking like the guys that are on the roster already.
I mean, realistically, if we're going to go back to the Jazz game on Friday, if they made their free throws and didn't turn it over 24 times,
59%,
they would have won the game. Yeah. Like, if they just turned it over like 17 times, which is still a lot,
yeah,
and made 70% of their free throws.
Walker Kessler getting all those rebounds and then missing all the free throws was like, yeah, man, what is...
8 blocks, too. That guy's enormous. He's huge.
Yeah. By the way, we're not... it doesn't seem like we're going to get Andre Miller now.
Sweet. I mean, not sweet that we don't get Andre, but we can talk more about...
Yes. Related to the Jakob thing, I did want to ask you your impression of the other two bigs, because we saw Colin Castleton make his debut, his first two games, go Gators. I thought you were wearing your Gators hat the rest of all the way through March, by the way.
I was, but I'm wearing a gray Eric B, black and red.
So it would have clashed.
Eric B and Rakim shirt would have clashed with the orange and yellow. Orange and blue.
Potentially, I mean, I know everyone's more focused on the conference tournaments and stuff like that, but number one ranked Auburn did lose on Saturday. So there's going to be a new number one in the, it's probably not Florida. But I think
we're going to get a one seed in the tournament at this point, though.
You'd think so, right? Like they were the five seed. They won again. They destroyed Ole Miss in a game that they should destroy them. And Auburn lost. So
and we beat Alabama on the road.
Yeah,
top 10 team.
I think Duke and Houston are probably the only like lock. Tennessee probably gets one, and
we
then
beat
yes.
Tennessee.
Yeah, and then it's like, okay, is it Florida? Is it Auburn? Obviously, the SEC tournament is going to determine some of that.
But some years they really take the conference tournament into consideration and weigh it heavily. Some years they don't.
You'd think this year with the SEC being so good, though, right? Like whoever wins the SEC tournament should get like that's a lock for a one seed, right?
I mean, as long as it's one of those top teams, there's like four or five teams in the top 10.
Yeah.
You think if it's one of them, yeah.
Yeah. Auburn, Florida, Alabama, Tennessee. If it's any of those four, it's probably, you probably get the one seed.
You would think.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that'd be fun.
It's in Nashville.
Sorry, we're all over the place. This is what happens when a guest falls through, you know. I was intending to ask you about Colin Castleton, your initial impressions of him. They also went for like the first time in his career, he was playing power forward.
Yeah,
on Saturday they played him alongside Jakob and alongside Orlando Robinson. That is, I went back through some old G League. Like I don't think he's played power forward before.
The first rotation, he looks super lost. In that spot, in the second half, he looked way more comfortable. Mm-hmm. Like I don't know how you figure that out, and especially like your second game with the team in a new system.
Yeah,
like
and that's hey, impressive. By the way, here's a new position.
That's impressive. That's hard.
Yeah,
but it seems like he has like a good feel for the game and basketball IQ. So that, and since the Raptors' offense is a lot of reads and flow and reacting. He fits in pretty good there, I thought.
Yeah, 5 assists on Friday in his debut. Didn't do much as a scorer, but hit the glass, fouled out. But that was in, 23 minutes in your first game. So showed some stuff there. And then, on Saturday, played a little bit more, fouled a little bit less. No assists, but blocked a couple shots, hit a couple shots inside. Yeah, I mean, reasonably attractive. Like I kind of said, I think he's probably the best G League big who was available. So yeah, why not see what he can do there? Certainly, he seems pretty comfortable with some of the, like, hey, the second unit, this is the role Kelly played. He's not Kelly, but you know, some of that high post extended DHO kind of stuff. He seems like a pretty natural fit in there, at least when he's at the center position.
Yeah, I think he's made the most of his opportunity as much as you could expect.
Yeah, at least to get a, you know, I mean, we'll see. His 10-day extends until Saturday, so things could happen before then. But it certainly seems like Jakob Poeltl is not going to play every game down the stretch.
While we're talking about Colin Castleton, I had a note here. I don't know if you picked this up, but when Jamal Shedd hit the game winner, I'm using quotes.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't the game winner. But when everybody thought it was, he took the ball out of the net and chest passed it. And hit Jamal Shedd in the back with the pass, like in celebration, which I've never seen before.
Huh.
Did you notice that?
No, I had to
rewind it. I'm like, did he just chest pet? Like if we're at the YMCA in Concord, yeah. That's like a ball fight's breaking out okay. after that. But it was like in celebration and happiness.
Yeah.
Like he wasn't like, I'm going to bean Jamal Shedd with the basketball.
Yeah. And like, maybe he thought he was like getting the ball because Jamal hit a winner and like,
No, he did it in celebration. Okay. He was like cheering, smiling, laughing, and like took the ball out of the net and just like chest passed it and hit Jamal Shedd in the back.
It's a weird celebration.
Yeah, exactly. I've never seen that celebration.
No.
Anyways, a random note I had,
yeah.
which I found funny.
That's an odd one. Okay. Some of the other small positive, and look, I know they split the pair against two not very good teams, but they're playing like 905 guys, like big minutes. I thought Jameson Battle had a really good game Saturday.
Two good games.
He
played well against Utah as well.
Yeah, 3-for-5 on threes the one game, and 3-for-5, actually 3-for-5 both games.
The mask on too.
Yeah, we're gonna see Mobo with the mask at some point. Mobo's out tonight, but
hated playing with the mask. So I got a lot of respect for people that do it.
Yeah, Jameson Battle has an interesting statistical chase thing here down the stretch. If the season ended right now, he would be having the third best 3-point shooting season in Raptors history.
Wow.
Jason Capono does not qualify because he didn't shoot enough threes that year. He didn't. He led the league in 3-point shooting and didn't get enough threes to qualify for the leaderboard.
How many do you have to shoot?
It's like, I forget the exact. It's a certain amount of attempts.
Has that
per
gone
team
up
game.
Since we shoot more threes now?
I don't think it has, actually. No, I think it's still like it's around 100 threes for the year or something like that. But he did not shoot enough.
Imagine that. Jason Capono didn't get up enough. That's how the game is
we
changed.
So he came on the show last year and we talked to him about that. So yeah, he shot 48.3% on threes 2007-2008 with the Raptors and only took 118 threes in 81 games.
That's crazy. That would never happen today. He would have made a lot more money.
Like, AJ Lawson has taken almost that many threes this weekend. Like, not to pick on him because he had a bad shooting weekend. He's been nice defensively and was obviously shooting better prior to that. But, like, to give you an impression of the volume, like, AJ Lawson took 16 threes this weekend, and Jason Capono, the best 3-point shooter of his era and, like, the record holder for best 3-point percentage of the season, was taking 1.5 per game.
Yep. My rookie year, I think I was, like, 42 for 100. 42%, which would have been top 10 in the league, but same thing, I didn't shoot enough. The only reason I know this is because when I went to the rookie transition program, I was the answer to one of the trivia questions. Like, which rookie finished in the top 10 in 3-point shooting? And then there was like an asterisk, like if he had shot enough threes.
Nice. Yeah. You were 39 for 92.
There you go.
42.4%.
Yep.
Yeah, it's pretty good. But Jameson Battle is like, he's right there in terms of 3-point percentage.
He can shoot it.
All time. Yeah, and like obviously the shooting gets you to the show and then everything else he's shown growth-wise. I also, just while we have a minute here, I thought Jared Roden was really good in both of those
games. Yeah.
Yeah, like I liked him a lot with 905. I liked him back as far as camp, and obviously it's taken some time to get here. And he's not a guy who like his role is not supposed to be blow you away. With any, like, he's going to be a solid role player, if anything. But yeah, I thought he had a couple games too.
He's really strong and athletic.
Yeah.
Like, some of the athleticism plays he's made has been eye-popping. That follow-up dunk was insane. The other thing, like, I feel like he knows, like, his strengths and weaknesses and plays within himself. You know, he's not out there trying to shoot 7, 8, 9 threes when that's not really his game. which I like. I had dinner with Will Hardy, good friend of mine from the Spurs, on Friday after that game. And we were talking about it because he's got a lot of young guys. And he's like, you know, one thing that young guys, they get to the NBA, you get a chance to show what you can do. Don't tell on yourself. Don't come out and try to play and show the things that you can't do. Show us the things you can do. So, like, if 3-point shooting is not your strength, don't be shooting 10 threes. Like, you're telling on yourself. Play within yourself, and then you build out from there. And that's how you gain confidence and trust from the coaches.
Yeah, it's well said. And you know, obviously, it's got to be tough. Some of these guys probably want to show, hey, I have this – you think I have this weakness, and I want to prove to you that I don't have it. But really, it's like you got called up for your strengths, right, not because they want to explore your weaknesses.
Like, when I came in, I wasn't, like, demanding the ball in the post.
Yeah.
Like, people don't think I can post up at the power forward position. Give me the ball. I'm going to take, you know, Marcus Fizer one-on-one on the post. No chance.
Marcus Fizer, what a fool. I love the random power forwards from your era you just shout out.
Yeah, yeah, no. Did that, I would not be in the league.
By the way, your second year with I have the Raptors all-time three-point shooting season leaderboard. Your second year, you did qualify. You shot 42% again, but on 243 attempts that time. So Jamison Battle right now is at 43.6%. He's not going to touch Capono, 48.3%. And then Danny Green's probably safe. The championship year, Danny Green shot 45.5% on, like, over 400 attempts, which is, like,
damn.
Overall quality, that's the best 3-point shooting season. Like, he took almost four times as many threes as Capono. Like, yeah. That's great. But then after that, it's 44.2, Mike James, the Amityville scorer. So, like, Battle's, like, right there for the third best.
Mike James, huh?
Yeah. Mike James. We've got a couple Anthony Parker seasons in there.
Yeah,
and Norman Powell in the run it back year shot 44%.
When you think of Mike James, that's not what you think of.
No, it's scoring.
Surprise,
for sure.
Yeah.
But
Capono's one of those guys, like, there's a few guys I've played with or worked out with. I never played with Capono, but I did some off-season stuff with him and did shooting drills that I was like, wow, this guy is on a different level. And I would say Capono. I would say Brent Berry. I would say Steve Novak. And Anthony Morrow.
Okay, yeah.
Did some shooting drills with him one off-season, and man, like, I know he wasn't always like that throughout his career, but though that day, I was like, holy crap, this guy can really shoot it.
No, I remember Anthony Morrow, I want to say the Thunder signed him at one point, and I thought it was going to be, I remember being like, really, like the KD era Thunder. I'm like, oh, this guy's going to get so many open threes. I just looked it up. He shot 43% on 4 threes a game when the Thunder got him. It just, like, the other parts of his game never came other than the shooting. But yeah, he shot 42% for his career.
Yeah, he could shoot the crap out of it.
It's also funny for you to go bare.
I've never shot with Steph besides the 3-point contest, okay. So I can't say him.
Yeah, I'm sure he's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm sure too.
I think so. By the way, you saying Barry and Novak back-to-back is funny. Just like Brent Barry's one of the only guys to do the 3-point contest and the dunk contest, whereas Steve Novak, that stat that I mentioned the other week, where he's the tallest guy to never dunk in a game.
Yeah,
funny
Mike
contest.
Mike Miller, too. I'd throw him in.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Time now for Fast Break, brought to you by BetMGM, the sportsbook born in Vegas. It is Wizards Raptors Part 2. It's at 7:30 on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590 The Fan. So you can hear Eric Smith and Paul Jones on the call, or you can see me and Matt pregame. Matt is also halftime and postgame, but I'll be joining you guys for a little bit.
You gonna have your new suit on?
No, I haven't got it yet. Okay. I'll be in civvies like
usual.
What'd
you pick? Plaid?
I don't pick. I just trust the.
You didn't pick it.
I mean, I had, like, some say in it, but...
What'd you tell
them? There are wardrobe people who are much better at this
silk
stuff than me.
What'd you go with?
Yeah, silk. I got a silk suit for Blue Jays opening day. Okay, a lot of guys resting today. Jakob Poeltl will sit for rest. Jacoby Walter is out. If you missed it, initially called a quad strain, now being called a hip flexor. He remains out. Jonathan Mobo's still out with the busted face. He's even still, like, on the bench, got his nose, like, wrapped or whatever. So he'll be a little bit... Grady Dick, Ochai Agbaji, Brandon Ingram, Ulrich Shamshe, all still out. On the Wizards side, Chris Middleton and Marcus Smart are out for rest. It's the first night of a back-to-back for them. Rashawn Holmes, who played last game, he's out with a knee thing. And then Brogdon, Bay, and Jones remain out. Washington, 13-49 overall, although a little better lately, 7-8 in their last 15. 4-3 with Chris Middleton. They're only a game up for the best lottery odds, so they're incentivized to lose here. Raptors, of course, 21-43, tied for fifth last now in the win column, but five games back of the play-in from the Bulls, so they're a little safe there. Also, 3-12 without Jakob Poeltl this year, so that's a big swing piece there. That was Fast Break, brought to you by BetMGM, the sportsbook born in Vegas. Thanks to Lindsay Dunn for joining us. Make sure you check out that full carpool karaoke at Lindsay Dunn TV on social media and YouTube. Thanks to Amit Mann, Jake Schultz, and Austin Mackey behind the glass. Again, it's Wizards at Raptors tonight, 7:30 on Sportsnet and 590. Matt, have a wonderful Monday, although I'll see you again in a couple hours.
We'll see you soon, Blake.
All right, have a great day, guys. We'll talk to you tomorrow.